Hello, everyone, and welcome to the return of the Micro Model Railroad Cartel podcast. I am your host, Tom Conboy, and joining me tonight, my co-host, who is the required 6 feet away. Actually, he's a whole lot farther away than 6 feet, is Ian Holmes, and we're discussing this over Skype tonight. Ian, how you doing?
I am doing great tonight, Tom. It's really nice to be chatting with you about micro model railroads. It's something we've not done in the longest time. I think I'm going to have a good time tonight.
Yep, me too. And it's hard to believe it's been 8 years since we recorded our last one. I just didn't realize it'd been that long until you contacted me and said, hey, we haven't done one in 8 years. So I thought, yeah, it's a good time to do it. Don't have anything else to do right now because of the quarantine with the coronavirus. And I've noticed that's something with model railroaders. They're doing the same thing. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of work on Facebook. People, you know, are stuck at home and can't get out. And I'm seeing a lot of excellent modeling. I've been seeing several things being posted on the Cartel Facebook page. We're looking and we're finding ways to devote our time to new projects, maybe finishing up some old ones. I haven't been doing any of those old ones that I need to, but a lot of people are, and a lot of people are doing new projects. So that's really good to see. We were thinking with the shutdown and everybody, a lot of places locked down, this would be a great time to record a podcast. And we want to share some ideas. We want to share enthusiasm with all of you. And maybe you'll want to reach out and share your ideas with us too. So Ian, I'm going to ask what you've been up to lately.
What have I been up to? Well, I'll tell you what, it's been such a long, long time that I think before we go any further, we should actually remind ourselves what a micro layout really is. You know, to quote the late Carl Arndt, who popularized the concept, micro layouts are small model railroads, usually less than 3 or 4 square feet in area, that nonetheless have a clear purpose and excellent operating capability. Now, it's the size, the 4 square feet maximum, that's important. Lately, there have been some people, websites and even magazines that are passing off layouts bigger than 4 square feet as micro. And in some cases, a lot bigger than 4 square feet. You know, back in the day when we did those first podcasts 8 years ago, micro layout design and operation was huge. I mean, people came up with all kinds of ideas. Some were serious, some were whimsical, some were just plain crazy, you know. Do you remember the layout suggestion that was built about a person, about a layout built on a person's cast for their broken leg? I mean, it was a wonderful time. It was an exciting time, you know. All the layouts were designed way under 4 square feet. You know, we tried every method known to compress larger layouts into ever smaller spaces. You know, traversers, sector plates, train tables, storage cassettes and fiddlesticks. These things all came to the fore in the early days of micro layouts. I mean, there's pizza layouts, layouts in shoe boxes, IKEA snap boxes, Apple boxes, you know. And I've been feeling like lately that the idea of the true micro seems to have died away, and we need to get back to being more creative again. I mean, there's people out there right now building layouts in Christmas wrapping paper storage boxes, and that kind of thing really excites me. But while we were getting ready for this show, no more than 90 minutes before you called me to start this podcast recording, I had an idea for a true micro layout in 16 millimeter scale. I mean, I can't share too many details right now because I need to iron a few things out, but could be a showstopper, this layout. I'm really excited about it. And if I'd thought about it 2 weeks ago, well, I would have been building it instead of the layout I'm working on right now. Now, let's not talk about the layouts that I'm not building. Let's talk about the layouts that I've built. I mean, I've built more layouts than I care to remember right now. I mean, like I say, when I was preparing for the podcast, I trawled through my archives. You know, some of them were good and some of them, well, some of them weren't very good at all. There were some IKEA Apple box layouts, you know. Do you remember back then the Apple box was barely even a thing when we last podcasted? And now it's led onto a whole new avenue of model railroad stuff. And we'll talk a bit about that later, you know. I still have my Nowhere Mining, which was a 00HO scale combined layout. That was one of my first Apple box layouts. And that worked on the theory of, like, in England, you always saw that building kits or locomotive kits were, like, labeled as 00HO. It was like they could be used for both scales, the English 00 scale and the American HO scale. So I thought, let's build a layout that can be used for both. and I built the layout and mine loading feature, and I took it to the World's Greatest Hobby Show in St. Paul 5 or 6 years ago, and it's a 2-day show. So on day one, I operated it as an English layout, and then overnight, I changed the signs on the layout, and on day two, I operated it as an American layout. It seemed to work really well. So that was one of my layouts. I still have Pure Spring Watercress, the GN15 layout. I took that to the National Narrow Gauge Convention in Minneapolis a couple of years ago, and that went down really well there. And I got a lot of positive feedback from, like, Bob Brown, who asked me to submit an article to the Narrow Gauge and Shortline Gazette, which, of course, I haven't done yet, but there we go. That's something else I can do during lockdown. But that layout now had to be retired because it barely made it through the end of that show before the mysterious short circuit started to develop and all that. And it's now well and truly retired, that layout. I haven't got the heart to break it up or anything like that. But I've still got other layouts. There's my 00-scale British Railways Lincolnshire Branch Line Terminus, which I've been running quite well over the past few shows it's been to. Now, I've been really happy with that, and it's now moving on to the next stage of development, being put into a display cabinet, because erring on the side of now putting all my layouts in cabinets, because it's easy to store them if they're all boxed away. So, and the latest layout, which was spurred into development by the coronavirus crisis, is the Cuddle Shale Oil Company Tramway. Fair mouthful there, calling it. But it's built around principle called slot. So single length of track. It's just, the layout is 4 feet long and it's got one length of track on it. The way the original designer worked the process out, there's a lot of interesting switching and moving around of stock on it to be loaded and unloaded at various locations on this single length of track. I'm very excited about this. It's I think it's really going to be quite good, so I'm working towards getting that ready for the fall. I've got a show that I usually go to in St. Cloud, Minnesota, and I'm going to take it there. And then somewhere in the midst of all this, my wife and I moved house, which included downsizing from like 1800 square feet to 950. That really like makes you appreciate that downsizing, that size really makes you appreciate the advantages of micro layouts, because if I'd had a big layout in that old house, you know, it would have had to have gone, but because I got micros that easily box up, there's a great advantage to be had there. And let's not forget, Tom, that we also met, I mean, last year we met, and it was nothing to do with model railways.
That's right. It was when you were rallying down here. That was the 100 Acre Wood Rally. I believe that's what it's called, isn't it?
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. I just put that on my Facebook page. You message me and say, wait, you're coming down here. I only live half an hour from you. I'm going to come and that's see right. you.
Yeah, we were going to do that again this year, but it got canceled because of the virus. So we didn't get to do that.
Nope. So we will just have to look forward to doing it next year.
That's right. Well, as you can all tell, Ian's built quite a few micro layouts. Unlike Ian, unfortunately, I've only completed one micro layout in the last, I guess I started about 8 years ago when we started the Cartel blog group. I've tried many, but most of them never got past the planning stage. Some of them, I started building the baseboard, and I've got one baseboard for my storage yard that I've had. It's been sitting in storage a good 5 years now. Not even interested in getting it pulled out. But, you know, you learn each time you start, and each time you start to build one, you think, hey, it looks good on paper. Then you start trying to build it, and it may not hold your interest. Being an American modeler, and Ian, I know you're American as well, but you're also British. And with that, you know, in England, it seems that the micros are much more popular, whereas in America, it's this idea, you know, it's not a layout unless it's, you know, fills a room or fills a basement.
Yeah.
And I have to say that the challenge for me with micros is getting something to fit in the footprint of that 4 square feet that has a realistic look, but, you know, is still operable and still you can operate on it. You can, you know, switch cars. And that's the thing that I did with my Wetterau Food Services micro layout. And that's the one I completed. It's still around, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit here in just a moment. I had planned on going to some train shows this year, but of course, all the train shows around here are pretty much canceled, and I don't know of any in the future because, you know, with the way everything's talking, they probably are not going to happen. So I'm sitting back with it, doing a lot of armchair modeling myself. I've got my GN15 layout, which Ian, of course, it was your work in that got the bug bit me on that one as you were sharing that. It's my Westcott Mine and Mill Railway that I've got at the scenery stage right now. But I'm sitting here looking at it right now, and I started applying plaster cloth and starting the scenery work, and I just cannot motivate myself to get. I don't like the plaster work. I like the painting. I like the foam, the grasses, and when you're doing all that scenery stuff. But it's that base work you got to do before you get to there. And I just don't feel like working with sculpted mold or plaster right now. So I'm making excuses, and I know it. But the thing that I liked about the Wetterau Food Services micro layout was Professor Kleisler, who is a gentleman out of Australia, who is one that was really a big proponent of micro layouts. As I started listening to him on Model Rail Radio, I started getting interested in building a baseboard out of foam core. And I believe it was Chris Ellis that designed a clipboard method. And that's the one I used to build it. And I have to tell you, this year, the actual baseboard turned 6 years old. The finished layout, I finished in 2016, so the finished layout is already 4 years old. Mm-hmm. And I have to say that even made out of foam core, I have very minimal warping. The pieces still fit together. All of the clipboard connectors I have are still holding up. I've taken it to two train shows. I've had it boxed up. It's boxed up in my closet right now. It's holding up. And I tell you, I've been very pleased with that method. It's lightweight. I can set that thing up, have trains, engines, locos running on it in about 15 minutes. And I'm usually tore down when all the big layouts are still boxing their rolling stock and their locomotives up. I'm already boxed up, heading out the door, waving at them, said, see you next year. So that's one of the things that I really, really liked about it. But of course, I had planned on a train show this year and it was already canceled. And of course, they have the NMRA convention was supposed to be in St. Louis this year. It's been canceled. And the narrow gauge convention is supposed to be here this year in September, I believe. And I'm expecting that to probably get canceled. So I was hoping to use that maybe as a incentive to get my GN15 layout finished. So maybe I could take it to the narrow gauge convention. I don't think that's going to happen. So we'll see what happens there. I even went out in the garage. I bought an Apple box from IKEA a couple of years ago. And I mean, I've been hoarding this thing because I know they don't make them anymore. Okay. I'm sure you might be able to find some out there. It's still in the shrink wrap. I haven't even opened it because it's just like, I'm waiting for that inspiration to build that. So I've gotten it off the shelf and it's now sitting in the middle of my garage on one of my workbenches. And I'm just trying to make up my mind what I want to put in it. So I've been going on Google Maps. I've been looking in industrial areas, in the St. Louis areas, just, you know, track arrangements, just to get some kind of inspiration. And I'm being really picky here. I've got a little analysis paralysis right now, but you know what? Mm-hmm. It's fun doing the research. So it's not a bad thing. But speaking of Apple boxes, Ian, I want you to talk a little bit more about that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The Apple box. I mean, that was barely even a thing when we podcasted last. I mean, I was thinking, checking my records, and it seemed like I bought my first one back in the winter of 2011 or in like December of 2011 or something. No, it couldn't have been December because there'd been too much Christmas shopping going on and I would have remembered that. But so it was in the winter of 2011, 2012, and I'd previously built a layout on some of the IKEA snack boxes, which were like the precursor to the Apple box. They were like about, about 17 by 10 and were about 10 inches deep. And they were really quite interesting to work with. But those went out of fashion just as I wanted to buy some more. And that's when I saw the Apple box. I mean, the Apple box is like 28 by 14 by 11. And I saw this and I thought, because the Apple box is supposed to be a toy box. And I saw these and I thought, saw the way they went together. And I thought, well, good Lord, you could probably build a layout in this. And so,
well, technically, it is a toy box because you are building a toy model. So, anyway, I'm sorry. I'll let you go on.
Yeah. So, I presented the idea to the Natterbox, as that's the GN15 forum. And all of a sudden, the whole world went crazy for them. You know, I remember that there was even a group in Germany, a modular group of model railroaders who built a huge modular layout in ON30 using them. And so I was really amazed with that. And the construction method of the boxes, of course, the flat pack method, meant that you had to solve a few problems to get them to join together in multiples, you know. And some of my early efforts at that were really quite dicey. In fact, one of the first Apple box layout I ever built appeared in my Facebook memories just today. And I was looking at that, and I was looking at the method that I used to join the baseboards together. And I'm going like, good grief, it's a wonder the thing stayed together. But by the time I built my final Apple box layout, which was September, October of last year, I'd really got the joining between the fiddle yards and the baseboard. I'd really got that quite down, and I was really pleased with the way these were going. So, and of course, the Apple box now, it's like you say, it's discontinued. But what it has done, it's given rise to the baseboard kit. These are a huge thing now, especially in the UK. You know, several cottage industries making them. They're laser cut from MDF, medium density fiberboard, so that all the parts are the same size, everything is square, and you know, you can put the thing together and just a couple of spots of glue, bang, there you go, you've got a firm quality baseboard. Tim Horn, I think, is probably the most well-known one over in the UK, but there, like I say, there are many, many others. In the USA, I think it's a different thing. At the ones that I found, it's at masterpiecemodules.com and modelrailroadbenchwork.com. Both of those companies seem to specialize in kits for the modular concepts like Freemo, N-Track and T-Track. But it might be worth checking them out to see what they do have. And I think Model Railroad Benchwork does have a greater variation of sizes than Masterpiece Modules, but check them out and see what you can find.
Yeah, I've noticed a lot of those kits on Facebook. I've been seeing more posts, especially the real small ones. I think those are the ones you get from the UK. I have taken a look at those websites and looked at some of the different options, and I think they have at modelrailroadbenchwork.com. I believe they have one that goes down to 12 inches by 12 inches, if I'm correct, if my memory serves me correctly there. What I'm going to do is I'm going to post some links that Ian mentioned here on the blog post, and I'm going to put that in our podcast, this episode here, and that'll be on the Micro Model Railroad blog page, and you can find that at mmrrc.blogspot.com. Ian, what are your thoughts on using concept sketches for layout planning? I know you use them several times with your micro layout planning. And I also know, though, that people sometimes think, I got to be an artist to do sketching. What are your thoughts on that?
The thing is, I've always drawn sketches of how I see the layout. I don't give it a second thought. And when people like say to me, oh, I wish I could draw like that, and you know, it's like, I just don't think anything of it. But it's just the way I work, you know. The way things often start for me with a micro is that this is going to sound really weird, you know, but like, I get a feel for something, you know. It's like I don't want to call it a vision, but you know, I'll see something in my mind's eye. You know, it might have come from a photograph that I saw like weeks or months or maybe even years ago, you know, and something, or let's call it a feel just gets in my brain, and I have to get it down on paper, or even on my iPad, you know, just as long as I get that recorded. But I mean, I don't want anybody to think that these sketches that I'm doing at that level are any good. No, they're not. I mean, I was doing one earlier on, and it looks like a spider crawling up the Empire State Building, to be honest. But I know what that drawing means to me. So I can see something in it that other people might not. So what I would say to anybody who has doubts about their drawing skills, it's like, you know, don't be put off by what you see from the really talented layout visualizers. You know, the people that I grew up looking at their sketches and thinking, wow, I wish I could do that. People like Roy Link and Ian C. Rice and lately Paul Lunn as well, I think, you know. We all start off with really sketchy sketches that you can't really tell what's what with them. But I mean, there are plenty of tutorials out there on YouTube that'll teach you the basics of perspective drawing. And that's all you need. You know, just search for perspective drawing on YouTube. You know, the sketch only needs
and Ian,
to be.
Sorry, Ian, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but I, when you were talking about that with basis of perspective, you know, I know a lot of schools here in the United States don't have art classes as much anymore as they used to. Mm-hmm. When I was growing up, we, you know, that was a basic thing. We had those.
Yeah.
But basic perspective, it's pretty simple. I mean, you really don't have to have artistic ability to do that. And that perspective really helps capture that look. Mm-hmm. It may not be a scale model, but it really does. It gives you that visualization. That's what you're looking for.
Yeah, that's it. That's all you need. You know, it's like if there's nobody teaching it in schools, you know, there are loads of tutorials on YouTube. You know, I found some really simple ones. All you need is simple 1-point, maybe even 2-point perspective. And it's really easy. And you don't have to draw a masterpiece. Just draw boxes with pointy roofs on them. That's enough to give you a feel, you know. All just a tool when it comes down to it. You know, you can then follow it up with a scale model or a mock-up, you know, but drawing on a piece of paper, you know, it's a great start. And you know what? It takes up the least room of all. And also, there's something really cathartic. If you're drawing on a piece of paper and you don't like what you're doing, it's really cathartic to, like, screw the piece of paper up and throw it in the bin. You know, it works great.
I do that
for
a
me.
Lot, yeah. By the way.
and here's something else. The great thing, if you use an iPad app, which I use a lot, if you use an iPad app, you can actually cheat a lot using those. You know, you see, if you're on the internet and you see a building, a photograph of a building, you think, oh, I like that. Take a screenshot, drop it into your drawing app on your iPad, you know, trace it. And then trace over it, and then draw your layout, your track plan around it.
A lot of people say, well, you guys are artists. But I have found that even just something very basic, even if I can't draw figures. So you know what I do? I just put little stick figures in. Yeah. I just do something to kind of give a concept of what I'm doing. I'm not trying to draw something to where I can put it in a museum. I'm just drawing something as a reference so I can visualize what I'm trying to capture in the layout.
Yeah.
And I think people need it. Like I said, YouTube is an excellent resource, and there are all kinds of instructional videos. I use those instructional videos for my own artwork, and they're wonderful, useful tools.
Yeah. Like I said earlier, the only person the drawing needs to please is yourself.
That's right.
You know, that is it. Yeah. So don't anybody be bothered about producing a masterpiece, because only you need to know what that drawing means.
And speaking of other tools, the use of mock-ups. And one of the things that I've done this with my current GN15 layout here, the Westcott Mine and Mill Railway. I did it with my Wetterau Food Services, is actually building a, I guess, one-to-one mock-up. What I did was I just lay out the track. I measure out on, you know, either on a table or if I've got some foam core board, I just go and measure out what my baseboard size is going to be, and I just start setting up track on it. The thing I like about foam core, when I set it up that way, and listen, you can use foam core for planing. You can use homosote or plywood or whatever you like to use for your baseboard after you do your planing stage. But push pins, mat pins, work excellent for holding track in place. That's what I did with my Wetterau Food Services. And it gives you that visual look of whether something's going to fit. I have maybe a structure kit I have in mind. I've got a lot of old structure kits that are still sitting in the box. Sometimes I'll pull one of those out and I'll tack glue it together. I don't need to have all the detailed parts. I'll just put it together real basic. And then I'll set it up on my baseboard that I have the track on, will the building fit? Or better yet, you can use cardstock or you can use foam core board and make simple mock-ups. I think, Ian, you're doing that right now, aren't you, on the Cuddle?
Oh, yes, yeah. You start with the sketch, yeah. And that it's a natural progress for me from the sketch to a 3D mock-up. In fact, sometimes it gets a little bit much. You know, it's like I had the two major structures on the Cuddle layout, you know, and I was messing with the size relationship between the two buildings. I got like a small store and I've got the big production factory unit. And I was looking at the small store and I was looking at how big I had to make the door for my tallest locomotive to go through. And I was playing the height of that door off against the height of that building. And because this building is so small, I then had to look at the size relationship between the small store and the big production unit. And yeah, I was like adding inches and taking inches away and making the building taller, a little smaller. I was going crazy, but it's all part of the process for me. 3D mock-ups are really are as much a part of the design for me as sketching.
Absolutely. And another thing too, and I've done this as well with my layouts, and I'm doing it right now on a current layout. It's not a micro, but it's my current layout, is you can take cardstock and have photo images printed out on them. You can use the cardstock. I've seen wonderful cardstock modelers. I think Ed Traxler's done a lot of work with cardstock. And then you have also, you can laminate them to a foam core board. That's what I've done on one of my factory buildings on my bedroom layout that I have in my train room. It works wonderful. So even using a mock-up can turn into a finished model that's on your bench work.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all part of the natural flow. You know, because you made that building while you were designing the layout, you know it fits. You know it fits how you want it to fit. So you can't be anything but happy with it, really.
Absolutely.
Well, I don't know about you, but after that last little bit of discussion, I'm well and truly fired up now, and I hope you all are. You know, micro layouts is a great, exciting part of the model railway hobby to be in. You know, we hope you've enjoyed our little discourse right now. You know, you can check out the Micro Model Railroad Cartel on Facebook and Blogger. You know, just search for the Micro Model Railroad Cartel. But in closing, I'd just like to urge you, wherever possible at these times, like, to buy local. Yeah, go to your local lumberyard. Use your local hardware store for glues, knife blades, cork sheet or tiles for track underlay. You know, even foam core board. You know, I live in a small town and I've got a wonderful hardware store. I couldn't believe what I could find in there, you know. And these family-run businesses, they really need your custom. And so just get out there and help them. You know, I feel safer going into my local hardware store where I see the same people every day than I would do going into a big DIY store to get my wood and glues and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, so, I'm just agreeing with Ian.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. We hope we fired up your enthusiasm again. We've given you some ideas. So if you want the Red Cartel podcast to become a regular thing, drop us a line, see what we can do.
You can contact us at our Facebook group or by emailing us at microcartel@aol.com. On Facebook, just look for the Micro Model Railroad Cartel group. We want to thank you all for listening tonight. We also want to take this time to thank all of the doctors, nurses, and essential workers who have given so much of their time during this time of crisis. I'm sure some of you who are in those fields are model railroaders. We want to thank all of you. Those who even are not involved in model railroading, we want to thank you as well. Thanks for everything you've done. Stay safe, everyone.